The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, everybody, on a Saturday, our final hour of Open Lines, April the 20th, 2024, 710 KNUS. We are Denver's talk station. 42 will be the high today. Had this really rain, interesting rain, snow mix, and this morning going to the gym looked like Christmas. 68 tomorrow on Sunday could be a motorcycle day, and Monday, 73 degrees. It's really been a good show. Thank you all. We came out of the box with Frank DeAngelis, the principal of Columbine High School, and Dick Wadhams, and then George Brockler. Brockler was just tremendous. This marks the terrible, and I don't want to say anniversary, but marking in time, Columbine High School shooting that took place the 20th of April, 1999, now referred to the Columbine High School massacre. 15 people were killed. The shooters, they were seniors. They were graduating. Dylan Klebold, Eric Harris. Murdered 12 students, a teacher, 21 others. It was the deadliest school shooting in American history at that time. And it all happened, I try to show prep for this stuff. 30 minutes. It was a half an hour, start to finish. And all the talk about how and why and the bombs failing to detonate and all the things went with it, but I remember in the aftermath, I was doing the morning show on KHOW Radio with actually Billy Thorpe and I. And the debates that began and the moral panic that really, really raced through talk radio. There was moral panic and people taking the high ground, proclaiming religion on the high ground. They sparked over, then it was American gun culture and it was gun control. And then as high school cliques and then it was subculture. Then it got into gothing, being a goth. I'd forgotten about that, outcast and school bullying and teenage use of pharmaceutical antidepressants, the internet. The internet was just starting to really take off then. The video games, the violence of video games, and I had to be reminded the Matrix had begun, so movies were part of that. And when it's said and done, it's the sound of one hand clapping. Having said that, let's go back, start. Here we go. Hey, Joe. Joe's on the radio show. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. The Bible makes it clear the human heart is evil above all things. Who can know it? That's from Isaiah. The idea of killing another human being is as old as Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because he was jealous of his to God. He was jealous of his position with God. I believe that the evil that you're seeing is it's enhanced by the technology of guns and mass killing weaponry, but it's nothing different than has been throughout history. Every human being is capable of heinous evil. And whether they do it or not is dependent upon, I believe, their root core upbringing and their belief in God. You can't convince me that Eric and Dylan believed in God, believed in the Bible. I don't believe that. I don't believe that kids did it, this kind of thing, nearly as much when the Ten Commandments were on the walls of the school. Go ahead, tell me. You're the historian.
No,
how many mass murderers were there in the 50s?
Well, that's the interesting point of this, that there are epochs and changes, but I don't know if U.S. history surpasses anything that these two did. I mean, this is a country that is a violent country. And I don't know if the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall of any place, and I'm just saying I don't know what the evidence would be or how you would weigh and measure it. I'll let it go at that. Joe, I don't have an answer.
Well, I think you brought another interesting conversation to kind of tie this together is the Nazis. If you look at fascism allows the society, it gives permission to be evil, literally be evil.
Do you know what? When I hear that term all the time on talk shows used by people that have no idea, do you know what fascism is?
Let me make my point.
I want to stop you right there.
Let me make my point.
Joe, you've been going on. I didn't interrupt you.
Well, no. You're interrupting my
Okay. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
The point is this. Where we are today is exactly where the Nazis were. Fascism is where the media and businesses are giving permission to a certain party to slant against people like the Jews or Republicans. When you see the media gang up on Donald Trump, for example, you're witnessing fascism in
true fascism is the corporate state. And it isn't what you just said. There, when you have a totalitarian regime, and I don't believe, by the way, what you're saying is true, but having said that, you can have totalitarian regimes, you can have theocracies, you can have all of those definitions who will be able to control and want these things. But fascism is the corporate state. It's what Mussolini, they did at Franco's Spain, but they were called the Falange. But they were fascist. In Lebanon, there was a rise of fascism that was then later defeated. It isn't what you say. I mean, I'm
so sorry, but you're wrong. As a good example, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden,
they're
are
fascist. Okay,
Joe, enough.
That's not what fascism is. And I hear it used all the time. Somebody screams fascist or fascism, and it's like anarchist is another great one. And I remember when we embedded down at this park downtown when the Democratic National Convention was here, when the Obama convention, and there was a. And it was like, wait a minute. And they had it as anarchist. What the hell was that? Anarchist collective. That was what it was. And we had these guys, and they came over and put them on the show. And, you know, I don't want to be an intellectual snob towards Joe, but understanding this stuff is more important. So I remember these guys, and they came over, and I said, you know, you can't be an anarchist and have a collective. And they were upset, and I said, are you Bakuninists? And they got even more upset, and I said, no, truly, to be an anarchist, you can't have a collective. A collective is, having said that, you can't do that stuff. All right, we go to Sandy. You're on a radio show. Good morning. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you, Peter. Excellent show. Interesting. April 1920 has a lot of significance. I just went online and just kind of looked.
Yeah.
At the significance, but one of the big ones was, I didn't realize this, Adolf Hitler.
It's his birthday. Yeah, it's his birthday.
Yeah,
the birthday.
And then the other one that stood out to me because close to my heart is Ireland, is the big conflict between the Catholics and the Protestants broke out in 1974, mm-hmm. April 20.
Yeah.
And
I think it's a pot, isn't it the pot day too, where you smoke 420? Yeah.
Oh yeah, weed day. You got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if that was in Klebold and Harris's mind that it was Hitler's birthday. I remember that coming up, or that none of them had anything to do with Ireland. So let that go. And it was also the weed day. I mean, everybody. We went down and covered it one time in Civic Center Park, and all these people sat around smoke pot. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah, let them have their pot. I agree.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, the answer has always walked away with it's just all those smart people that judge this in the aftermath of it, and there wasn't an answer. And mm-hmm. people picked and chose their own, like we just heard, their own answer and debates. But I remember that there's moral panic, and I hear a lot of panic in the country today. And I remember the gun culture took the hits and gun control, and then high school cliques and subcultures. And we're mentioning the goths and the use of pharmaceutical antidepressants and the internet and the video games and the movies. And everybody got a day to get blamed.
No rhyme or reason. It's just bad things happen every day of the year. It's just that this one stands out, it seems like, more than any of them.
Yeah, well, and it should. But
mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And but it's maybe someday somehow we'll be able to understand people like James Holmes or people like Klebold and Harris, but then in the larger sense of these huge events where, tens of thousands of people are killed, we look at that differently. And I don't know that it is.
Correct. I'm in that camp as well.
Yeah. I mean, what the Nazis did, but the communist, if you combine how many people Mao killed and how many people Stalin killed and how many people the Khmer Rouge killed, I mean, it easily outstrips what the Nazis were able to do. Joe Stalin is probably good for 6 to 10 times more killing or murders or whatever you want to call it than the Nazis at their worst. And I'm not defending the Nazis. And
if you watch that movie, gosh, Warren Beatty, and I can't remember who.
Oh, Reds. Them. Reds.
Reds.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. People, know your history. You are, one of. You're one of my favorites.
Well that guy got buried in the Kremlin wall. Did you know that? That's where Reed ended up.
Idea.
Yeah, they buried him in the Kremlin wall, which was the highest.
That gave me chills.
No, they took Stalin out of the Kremlin wall. But, that being buried in, Stalin was laid out next to Lenin until Khrushchev took him on, and then they just put him in the wall someplace. But no, I mean, that guy ended up, John Reed, I think was his name. And I read his work. I mean, he did, what's his classic about shaking the world, something that shook the world. Yeah. They were all commies. I mean, they were legitimate commies.
Yeah.
And they were able, denial was like this fascinating thing where, I'm watching it work every day. Just listen to it. But when if you were in the American Communist Party, CPUSA, and you would do all these great things for the party, and they would reward you, and they would take you to workers' paradise, and you would get these tours. And this was under Stalin. It was also under Khrushchev, and they would show you the wonderfulness of workers' paradise, and then these members of the CP would come home and tell everybody how great it was, and they were called Potemkin tours. And Catherine the Great had his name was Potemkin. He was a count, I believe, and they would actually build false villages, just storefronts, and people would get in the boats and go down the river, and they would show them the Potemkin villages. That's what they were called. Mm. And they had them in Nicaragua, and they would take all these, big lefties from California and New York that wanted to go down to see how wonderful it was with, in Nicaragua after the Sandinistas. And they were just, there was a front. And they were called Potemkin tours. And, I don't know.
Are we on a Potemkin? Hey, Peter, your perspective, I so appreciate it. And also, are we in the Potemkin era right now in the United States of America, where we're getting the storefront and not the real, truth?
Yeah, I tell you what, everybody better, get. We're losing our place, and it's, mm-hmm. It's impossible to know, but you know, there's no future that's written that's defined, but history, the great teacher, is whispering in your ear, keep it up. Keep it up. See what happens.
Keep it up.
You're kind. Thank you, ma'am. Be safe.
Thank you.
303-696-1971. Look, guys, generally when we hear about medicine and effective treatments for erectile dysfunction, you know, some guy that's selling it on the air to you, he doesn't need it. But he's a cool guy and he's doing it because that's what he's doing. I tell you what, you want to talk about love? You want to talk about being an old guy? I tell you what, if you're suffering, look, hands in the air, right? If you're suffering from ED, you know what it does to you. Jeff Dillon and Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic has been serving the Front Range of Colorado for, I don't know, I've known him for a decade. Schedule. Go and see them. There's five locations. You can't go wrong. Fort Collins, North Denver, Central Denver, Castle Rock, Colorado Springs. Just do yourself a favor. You owe yourself a try-on. Remember that? If the test dose doesn't work, your visit's free. Your initial visit's $99, includes a medical consult and they have licensed medical providers and a T and a PSA test. And if the test dose doesn't work, you're out of there for free. If it works, you're going to go, damn. Five locations, Colorado Springs, Fort Collins, not Colorado, yeah, Colorado Springs. Take it back, Peter. Central Denver, Castle Rock, and here in town. Call them, 720-440-7900. Easy numbers to remember. 720-440-7900, 720-440-7900. Visit them at RockyMountainMen'sClinic.com and tell them I sent you. Where are we, Lou? We can take a break. Lou says take a break. We take a break. One line is open. I'm Peter Boyles. This is Radio Free Denver, good old 710 KNUS. Saturday morning with Full Line, 710 KNUS, Denver's talk station, back here next week. It's been a good show. Thanks, Lou Gonzalez and Frank DeAngelis and Dick Wadhams and George Brockler. Next week, hopefully, Dave Williams will be with us here on 710 KNUS. Let's go back to the phones. I think Susie on line two was next. Thank you, ma'am. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter.
Hey.
So I want to tell you, this is kind of a hocus-pocus type of story related to Columbine, but it's an absolutely true story that I experienced. It never happened to me before, what I'm going to tell you, and it's never happened to me since. And even after all this time, I still don't know how to interpret it. But so what happened was I lived in kind of the Ken Carroll Ranch area back then, and I would take Sunday drives, particularly when there were Bronco games on, because I never watched the Bronco game. And so I would drive back. I take road trips as a hobby and these country drives. So anyway, I was driving back by Deer Creek Canyon, you know, not all the time, occasionally. I passed this house by there, and I was like, this house has the creepiest vibe I've ever experienced. And it was a nice looking house, a big, you know, beautiful house up against red rocks, some red rocks back there. And I felt my body felt cold, like the temperature dropped. And it just had a really creepy vibe. And I was, in fact, I would call it the creepy vibe house. And so every so often I would drive by it and I'd be like, yeah, it still has that creepy vibe. And I didn't know, I just thought it was my imagination. Okay. So then I drove by one, you know, this was a period of a few years this went on in the 1990s. So the house was for sale and I thought, okay, maybe it'll be, you know, better now. So when I drove by it, I was like, oh, it's a little bit better, but it's still, this house really has a weird vibe to it. And so, you know, I it's not something that I ever thought about much, but anyway, so then after Columbine, you know, I read the Rocky Mountain News at that time every morning before I went to work and having coffee. And, you know, there was every day, it was in the paper every day. And this was later. This must have been a year or so after Columbine. All of a sudden, on the front page of the Rocky Mountain News was the Klebold house. And that was the creepy house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like I said, that's never happened to me. It's never happened to me since then. I actually felt, my body felt cold, and I felt this chill. And it just had a weird vibe. Hmm. And so they must have bought it. They were the new owners. So they bought it after. It was creepy before they bought it. And, you know, it's still creepy after they bought it, but not as creepy. And like I said, I don't know the meaning of it in the interpretation.
Yeah, no,
the
listen.
But it was that house.
Yeah, there's stuff
I couldn't
that,
believe it.
Yeah, there's always the unexplained or the unexplainable.
Yeah.
And, you know, the answer is why not?
Yeah.
What did that fellow call? We were talking about the first time when we did Emily's Parade, and my very first time that Frank invited me down to Columbine. You can't help, but you know, there's places in the world. I went to my friends took me to the Little Bighorn, to the Custer Battlefield.
Whew. Oh yeah,
man. I don't know how many people, and I suspect lots of folks have been there. You mm-hmm. can't walk that. You know, there's paths that you can walk on. You mm-hmm. can't step off of the paths. You go to the museum, you go to the lectures. And it's something happened here. And I'm on your side. I can't give you an answer either, but
I don't know either.
No.
Anyway, it was in front page. That house was on the front page of the Rocky. Years later. I'm talking about that happened to me in the 1990s.
So. I believe you.
Which years
you.
Later.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Okay.
Thank you. Black Eyed Pea, I know the guys were there yesterday morning, Friday morning, Billy and Jeff Hunt, and they had that big get-together, and it's good stuff. We're going to start Biker Breakfast, the Black Eyed Pea of Colorado, locally owned and operated by Steve and Michelle. They're just great folks. I heard Steve on air with the boys. 8 locations, one near you, home-style cooking. It's going out of style, and last time you took the family to eat at the Black Eyed Pea. I'm telling you, everything is made from scratch. Roast turkey breast dinners, mom's meatloaf, grilled salmon. How about some homemade soups and great salads and delicious mashed potatoes? Daily specials, senior discounts, and better save room for dessert. The Black Eyed Pea, mile high, 1 pound chocolate cake. Incredible. Stephen Tubbs' favorite cake. Make your dinner party, rehearsal dinners, wedding receptions, company events. You and your outlaw friends. Black Eyed Pea Catering. No matter what the occasion, Black Eyed Pea gift cards are always great. Download the Black Eyed Pea app or go to the website and select pickup and place your order without having to call in. Everything about the restaurants are the best. There's locations near you. And I've gotten really to know the folks that own it. And they are just really good, good folks. Steve is a good man. Steve and Michelle. I love everything about the restaurant and the restaurants, and I know you will as well. Let them do the cooking for you and keep it in Colorado. The Black Eyed Pea near you. All right, where do we go here? We go to Karen. We go to Karen on line one. You waited, Karen. Good morning. Welcome to the show. Actually, good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, Peter. Good afternoon. I'm sure you remember this. I've always associated it with Columbine. It was a year or two later. Somehow it became known that a young woman from out of state had come to Colorado.
Yep.
She had inquired about Columbine. Apparently she purchased a gun, and people became so worried about what she was coming here for, they closed some of the schools that day. And tell everybody what happened later.
She committed suicide, but her name was Saul Pace. What was her name?
Pace
was her last name. And yeah, I mean, she put the whole town, she put the whole state on lockdown, and she went up in the mountains and took her own life. And she bought a shotgun. That's right. I'd forgotten all about that.
Yes, I was wondering how she first became associated with Columbine. She must have mentioned it and asked where Columbine was or something, but the whole city was up in arms about it.
Way smart call, Karen. Yes, I do remember that. And
that's really all I wanted to say, but I knew you would remember.
I do. I do remember that. And
at the time.
In fact, she was probably, you know, didn't she take a cab or an Uber or something? And it was an Uber. And she got out of the car and the Uber driver, and then she walked off into the mountains someplace. And on Mount Evans. Thanks, Luke Gonzalez on the job. But, yeah, and then she took her own life. But no one knew where she was. And they locked on everything. No, I do remember that. Gosh, that was, well, because we were talking about the, in the aftermath, and there was a moral panic, my choice of words, but everybody got worried about morality and they panicked on morality. Same kind of thing that's, you know, kind of off and on happening now. And then she showed up. I think it was, our timelines might be wrong, Karen, but I think it was, see how many years after Columbine did she stunt that?
Well, it was on the 20th anniversary.
Oh, it was. Oh, wow. See, I didn't know that. So,
what did he say? I didn't
It was 5 years ago.
20, oh, wow. Yeah. That recently.
Yeah, very recent.
Okay.
Well, thanks.
That's all I had to say, Peter.
It's a good one. Thank you, ma'am. All right, we go here. We go to Tony. Tony, you're on the radio show. Thank you and good morning.
Hey, good morning. So, listen, you know, thinking about Columbine and how it's changed things and why it happened and what you can do about it. And so just, a couple quick thoughts on it. One, we can't have a political solution because, you know, you have one side saying really the only answer is more guns, mm-hmm. More people carrying guns, more good guys carrying guns. And the other side saying, well, you know, let's do some things to limit the amount of guns. And so basically it's going to go nowhere. That, you know, I've kind of given up on the idea that there will have any kind of political solution, which then kind of leaves us to just wait until something happens that captures the imagination and gets, you know, everybody says, okay, we got to do something. Finally, we got to do something. And that's how the kind of democracy works. We have to wait until it's time to really do something. And one thing that comes out of Columbine, really two issues. One, you may or may not recall, there was an NRA meeting here that week. And
there
an
was.
Insider account.
That's right. That's right.
An insider account of that meeting. That's when they figured out. That's when they came to the strategy that said, oh, my God. School shootings, mass shootings can lead to more gun sales. And it was at that meeting that they adopted, started laying strategy to capitalize on mass shootings to sell more guns.
I didn't know that, but I remember
that's one piece.
Yeah, no, but go slow. Stop. I got to ask you. I remember the NRA was here, but you're saying that triggered what?
That very meeting, they canceled the consumer end of it because of the instance, but they went ahead with had their board meeting or so forth. And it was at that meeting that it came to them. Holy crap. You can sell more guns, if we capitalize on these shootings. And from then, that was embedded in their strategy going forward.
Right.
And that's kind of on the side note. But something that's fundamentally important is you ask about these two kids. One thing that's unique about Columbine versus any other shooting that I can think of, multiple shooters. And the reason it doesn't typically happen, as I've heard it, is they're so isolated, they really typically trust no one. They're living in their own world as they draw closer to the idea of committing a shooting. So they're not partnering. However,
these guys.
That's when that happens again, you kind of think about something where two, three, four kids decide, okay, we're isolated, we're beat up upon, blah, 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 blah. And they walk into, say, a Costco on a Saturday afternoon, and there's four or five of them. There will be hundreds killed. And it may be that kind of incident that then Americans will say, okay, we got to do something.
But then then what would you do? I mean, again, the situation, we don't need the additional.
I know we need no gun safety. We need, in this world, I don't even want to say gun safety on your radio station.
That's okay. So no, you can say what you want to say.
I'm saying that at the end of the day, when you ask, well, what's different? What's different between us and, say, a place like the UK where there are no gun shootings, there are no school shootings? And it's because if you were a scientist, you'd say the only variable that's different, they watch the same movies, they got the same cultural things, they got the same games, they got the same, there's cousins, and they don't have shootings, well, they don't have guns. But let's not go down that avenue either, because that...
No, I'm willing to go down there with you, but remember, under the monarchy, having a weapon... When Jefferson and others talk, and Adams, you can read these people about what becomes the Second Amendment. It wasn't about turkey shooting. It wasn't about going off and shooting a squirrel. It was against the government. Jefferson
whether
was...
Whether it's, yes, militia, or the right no, but, to form but militia back, versus even, individual
no,
rights.
Even deeper than that. And Jefferson, when Caldera's show ended and they were off into the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, and I'm a big Jefferson reader. Jefferson had three warnings, major warnings, and we have violated every one of them. But his first warning was, well, and actually we haven't violated this, but no national church. And they watched Europe with the Church of England or the Catholic Church, and they knew what was possible. But number two was no standing army. And number three was no central bank, no national bank. Well, we have a national bank. We have a standing army, and the other part of it, I'm not sure. So, but when Jefferson and those guys, they were talking, they feared monarchies, they feared theocracies, and they thought, well, if I keep you armed and me armed and Lou armed, it was less going to happen of the government was going to. Jefferson feared the government. I you know, when I hear, you know, the structure of this country. The Republic is predicated on almost against anything that the Europeans would talk about. But I know what you're saying, and I've thought about it a lot.
And again, that question is what gets hotly debated. Is it individual rights, militia, mm-hmm. a well-formed militia, mm-hmm. all that? And we're not going to solve that. But there's one thing for those people who think that more guns are the solution and we need to arm teachers. I want to put this last point out there and because I think it's relevant. I was having a discussion with a cop about a week ago around this very issue. And I said to him, how do you feel when you come upon a scene and you are faced with somebody with an AR and you've got your semi-automatic pistol? And remember, cops are so well-trained. I mean, you never hear of them injuring anybody, you know. They're effective. They're good with their guns. They're as good as anybody's going to be. And his comment was, now my pistol is only designed to get me back to my car so I can get my AR-15 myself. Mm-hmm. Now, why that's kind of relevant is it then occurs to me. So arming teachers, they got a pistol. But the guy coming through the door is more than likely carrying an AR. And a teacher is not going to be as well trained in all likelihood as one of our cops. And yet, well, are they going to be able to pull and be effective with that pistol when they're up against somebody with an AR-15? Cops would say no, but maybe other people listening to this station mm-hmm. would say yes. And well, I'm saying, so maybe are they to carry AR-15s in school? Is that what they're going to have
well,
to carry
but again,
to
you
be
have
effective
to stop,
in that
again,
role?
Let's trade. Klebold and Harris went. They were straw buys, and they sent the woman. I think her name was no. The other guy was Maines, I think. I the names of these folks, but they sent that woman, and she went to the gun show. She was past 18. And so she went and bought the guns, and then they got one from that guy, Mark Maines, and another one. But those guys, Maines went to prison for what he did. I think they both went. And they were adults, and they sold them the weapons. So ask yourself, you know, how does a – and again, freedom has its risks, big ones.
That's right. Protecting – to preserve your individual rights, everybody may have to give up their freedom. You may not have the freedom to go around and go to an event and feel safe going to an event anymore because everybody has an individual right to carry a gun.
Listen to me. Once again, if all of this were true, you know, I forget how many handguns and long guns are in this country, how many people carry. They got CCWs and they carry. It's a big issue. And yet, you know, it isn't what people think it is. And if you look at these people who look at Klebold and Harris, or look at James Holmes, you know, in our backyard, none of them should have had guns. And so it isn't when you take the real law abiding character that has guns, and you punish him or her for the actions of Klebold and Harris, with respect.
That's right. That argument is only the bad guys will have guns. If we do
anything guarantee
to restrict guns, only the bad guys have guns. Uh-huh. And now that we have so many guns, we need more guns. And
I'm
not even arguing it at this point. I mean, I think we're past the tipping point. I think we're going to have to continue down the path, and it will go. You know, I saw a guy on Fox, a gun guy, and his point was, this was several months ago, he was making the point that on our current trajectory, we're basically going to be a society that every time you meet someone, you better be prepared to kill them. Because they may be prepared
He
was making I know that sounds bombastic or hyperbolic, but that's not what his point was. His point was, if everybody and if you go to the extreme and everybody's caring and you do not know the bulk of the people, and you have no way of knowing who's mentally ill and who's on the edge. You have no idea. You'll have to be prepared at all times that you may be in front of a guy who's armed he's snapping.
If you have to live that way, pack it in. I've been through some crazy stuff in my life, and I'm never, ever, ever in the aftermath of Alan Berg's murder, a lot of different things. I never, even the craziness that occurred after John Eastman, it never occurs to me. And I said, if it is, but assuming that everybody that you meet is packing
a potential threat,
well, that's going to be a hell of a life to live.
And that is the point, that when we try to protect our individual rights, at the you may end up giving up your freedom.
That is a fair argument. Look, freedom is dangerous. I mean, what did Khrushchev say? Freedom is not free. When he beats his shoe on the table at the UN, screaming, "Niet, niet, niet," I just got done reading about it. And what he was screaming was, freedom is not free. And I love the call. I mean, it's thought-provoking.
At least ask yourself how we got here, and maybe why has no other industrialized nation on the face of the earth got here?
But why are we here, and
they're not?
But we are a country made by war. This is a country. We've talked about manifest destiny. We've talked about... it's the right weather. It's got all the benefits of in this country.
Okay, up until 1970 or so, we were like the rest of the world. Then start asking. Well, we were. We didn't have gun shootings. You could carry. Your rack in your truck.
We were,
when you went to school.
Listen,
nobody'd think twice.
I agree with you, as Joseph Heller said. Something happened, and my contention is all empires fail. And this is an empire that is perhaps going to fail. And the reasons why we will fail were also the reasons why the Tsar failed and the Greeks failed and the Romans failed and the British failed and the French failed. And, why they fail. And this is we're very frail right now. And
extremely.
But I don't believe it to be because of the constitutional guarantees that I have and you have. What I believe it to be is we have gotten to the point where the best we can do are these two. And
Joe was asking the right question or making the right comments. Something happened.
Well, he
lost me the moment he said it's got to be detachment from Christ. Well, it's got to be the detachment from religion.
No.
It's got to be why we slipped off the edge. That's not the answer.
No, it's not. But again, Joseph Heller. Something happened. And he's the same guy that wrote Catch 22 in a second book was entitled Something Happened. And historians ask that question, something happened. And it isn't as easy. I mean, whatever did happen that allows the Columbine, just the thoughts of those two to come into a society and think, well,
the mental illness has always been there.
Oh, yeah.
But their ability to get their hands on weapons, that's become a lot easier. But writ large,
remember
what has happened?
Lee Harvey Oswald, male ordered a rifle. And I got a cut. What do you do for real? Let me ask you, what do you do?
Retired.
From?
From a career in the food industry.
You're a smart man. Good call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. 710 KNUS Saturday morning. It is 12:44, 16 before the hour. I come back to talking about my friends at the Rocky Mountain Clinic, Jeff Dillon. And talk about love, man. The one you love is the light of your life. And if you're like most men, you want to do something, make that relationship work, and you've crossed the line, you're an old guy now, you're suffering with ED. Hey, it's no joke. The cure, Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic. Look, pick up the phone, please. Call 720-440-7900. 720-440-7900. It's that easy. You'll get the location near you. They're very discreet. It's very cool. They're in Fort Collins and North Denver and Central Denver and Castle Rock in the Springs. Stop dealing with the lack of confidence. It's hands in the air, right? Call them, 720-440-7900. Visit RockyMountainMen'sClinic.com. Tell them I sent you. Please. You will be glad that you did. 720-440-7900. Lou, where are we? Break? Lou said break, so we break. Afternoon, everybody. It's Saturday, 710 KNUS. I go up here to Tracy. Trace, we got 5 minutes till the end of the show. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on, Peter? You mentioned the National Church, all right? And you spoke many times about the Knights of Columbus in 1954. And in God We Trust, I have a $10 bill from 1934 that does not say "In God We Trust" on it. And so,
height to the Cold War, height to the Cold War, and the Knights of Columbus pressured, and there was a pressure, you know, that good or bad, to put that on currency, put it on coins, and put it on currency.
We spoke about this before. Why didn't they just say Jesus? And you know the difference between Judaism and Christianity, and you know the schism that has evolved between those two things, because you know that Judaism doesn't believe the Messiah has come, and then you have the church, you know, that guarantees this. So we're all going to be tried.
No, that wasn't Jefferson's argument. Jefferson looked at Europe, and he looked at the Church of England, and the Church of England supported the monarch. The monarch supported the Church of England, meaning it's called the divine right of kings, that God loved King George more than God loved George Washington. So he was a divine man. They had counts and dukes and barons and the rest of the nonsense that goes with it. And it was all church endowed, and the church supported the monarch, and the monarch supported the church. Now, in Catholicism, the Sun King Louis is on the church, is on the throne because the support of the Catholic Church. It's one of the reasons when you go to France, you see a lot of the churches where the heads are cut off of statues of the saints. Same thing is true as Rome. And one of the things that puts Mussolini over, Mussolini created the Vatican, and it was a political move by Badaglio, and they make a deal, and the church had been, you know, the Vatican State was created, and the Vatican State then gave its blessings to the Italian monarch, who in turn blesses Mussolini, but it was a deal. And in Ireland, if you were in the IRA, the church would condemn you, and you could not be buried in sanctified land. And that was a deal the Catholic Church made with the British monarchs or the British government, so they could come up and operate above boards. But they would condemn particularly young men who would, you know, go off into organizations like Young Ireland or, you know, the early precursor IRA or any of those guys. And so the church plays the czar under the Orthodox Church. God gave Nicholas that right to be czar. And
okay. Then,
yeah.
All right. So Peter, being you brought up Nicholas, Saint Nicholas,
it's not Saint Nicholas. It's Nicholas Romanov.
Well, anyway, you spoke about fascism earlier.
Yes.
And so we have the calendar, and then we have the beginning, you know, of the Roman calendar that begins on the 25th.
The old calendar. The old calendar. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You're quite aware of all these things.
Well, the Orthodox are on the old calendar. In fact, in the Middle East, there's plenty of people still on the old calendar. But there's...
You really do know what fascism is.
Sure it is.
You know, and I got a pretty good idea about it. You know, I'm not as old as you are, but
you are.
Someday I will be.
I hope. All right, man, that's it. Thank you.
Later, bye.
All right, everybody, we're out of time. What Jefferson's fears were a standing army, believe it or not. He feared, and that's one of the reasons why they were big proponents of the Second Amendment. They feared a national bank, which, of course, now is, we talked about at the end of Caldera's show, we do have the Federal Reserve, which is a national bank under Woodrow Wilson. We also got the federal income tax with Woodrow Wilson, and Woodrow Wilson also takes us off into World War I. And Woodrow Wilson arguably is one of two or three worst presidents that this country's ever had. And then the other thing that Jefferson warns us is a national church. He watches the Catholic Church. They watch the so-called Church of England. The Church of England is created by Henry, who simply wants to get, I guess, more divorces than the Catholic Church wanted them to have. But they had so much power. And it's called the divine right of kings. And it isn't true, but it's church-related. All right, Lulu Gonzalez, thank you, everybody. Take care of yourselves. Have a great day. It's a stay warm. It'll be a better day tomorrow.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.